Good afternoon. I'm Debbie Brinson, and we are going to shift gears a little bit, like Ned said. You've heard about the prevention recommendations, and Paul and I are going to talk about the models and how to deliver those prevention recommendations. Today, I'm going to talk about school-based health centers. We indeed have become a very good friend of Ned and his committee and coalition because around reimbursement, that's become a big piece of what school-based health centers do. I'm going to start at the very beginning because I'm always amazed at how many people don't know what school-based health centers are. Are they school health services in the traditional way for special education? Are they primary care docs and offices? And so I'm going to give you a brief overview so we're speaking the same language. The national partner, the National Assembly on School-Based Health Center, does a survey or a census across the nation taking a look at what happens with school-based health centers. Did you know that there are 1,900 school-based health centers across the nation, serving more than a million children at any point in time? That they provide primary care and prevention services. And how we got linked into this is those prevention services, as you all know, for many, many years have not been reimbursed. They're operated by local health departments, FQHCs, hospitals, and they have a team of professionals, of physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, nurses, health educators, that type of thing. My favorite slide here. I have been in this field working with school-based health centers in one way or another for the last 20 years. And the first slide I saw had about 700 dots. This one now has that 1,900. And as you'll see, we'll kind of learn about where these centers are located, which helps determine the level of prevention services that are delivered. Strategically located in communities is what school-based health centers are. They're established to address gaps in care of specific populations, often, no surprise, because often they're located in medically underserved areas. And what is unique about this model is that communities decide what school-based health center is what is appropriate. So if you're in a community and teen pregnancy reduction is an important piece and yet you can't deliver contraceptive through schools, then a community may choose to do a school-linked health center. So, location of them, close to 57% are in the cities, 27% in suburban areas. The 16% rule is an interesting one. That one has steadily increased over the last five or so years. Now, types of school-based health centers, high school, 33%. This 20% is an interesting one. It's other. It's what we often call school-linked health centers that deliver your more controversial preventive care services like reproductive health. The other one I think is really interesting to take a look is this 9.6, elementary. 10 years ago, you would have not seen an elementary school-based health center. In the last 10 years, what we've seen is this mental health issue become much more prevalent in terms of providing support and intervention services. Student population, as you know, our centers are diverse. They're predominantly members of minority and ethnic populations who historically have experienced disappropriate disparities issues. So now we're to the clinical preventative services. It is the cornerstone of what we're talking about today. The child and adolescent health part of the recommendations from the panel really talk about that sensitive window of opportunity, which gives you an opportunity to impact the developmental course of their decision making. Here are the six areas that the committee have recommended, the task force. Cancer prevention, yes, school-based health centers do pap smears. They do sun screening cancer, testicular cancer, cardiovascular disorders, blood pressures, BMIs are part of what they do, infectious disease. Injury prevention, family violence, bullying are all a part of what's happening in school-based health centers. Mental health, in the last 5 years, as you put such a closer relationships with school, the number one issues that schools will talk to you about is the mental health stability of their student population. And then last, the nutritional aspect and obesity piece. As you can see from the national census, the top 10 pieces of what is happening across the nation is prevention in nature. By nature, it has been that. And it's been the least area that's been able to be reimbursed over the last 10 years. So part of what happened was, as we asked collectively as a nation, is to take a look at expanding school-based health centers and giving them recognition in terms of reimbursement and acknowledging them in federal statutory. This became really important in that what we discovered, school-based health centers can't be reimbursed if they're not recognized in federal statute, and they weren't recognized in federal statute. So while many of the states will say you have to bill for services, those prevention services, and they do, there's nothing that says that they have to reimburse for those services. The first thing that we needed to do, and why this is such a good partnership with the clinical prevention services piece, is now that there is the first ever federal definition of what a school-based health center is. That opened up enormous doors in terms of reimbursement and access to other resources. Very much what we've talked about. They have to be located in schools. They have to be located in close proximity. They have to be administered by a sponsoring facility. You have to have a relationship with an established medical center. You have to have good quality assurance pieces in place. And the second piece of what SCHIP did that was happening was is they defined who a sponsoring facility was. And that became a hospital, an FQHC, public health department, nonprofit, school health system. But again, making sure that you met all of those other criteria. So, two things with healthcare reform that became important to what Ned was talking about in terms of identifying the reimbursement prevention services is that the feds realized in healthcare reform that we really needed to create an opportunity to bring these school-based health centers up through the electronic medical record, through an effective practice management that started to capture the data. So they created a $2 million grant program for construction and equipment that is out right now. Those bids are coming in. Entities can apply up to $500,000 to bring their school-based health centers on. There's also money there to create renovations and to actually do constructions. That will also open up again in 2011 for the second round of construction projects. And the other piece that's very exciting that leads to the future is the 4101B. It actually created an authorizing program for school-based health centers. While it's not been funded, what it does do is set the tone between reimbursement, the construction project, that there will be a granting program. So as I come to a close, I want to really reinforce there's this dynamic partnership intersection between clinical prevention services and population-based interventions with child and adolescent health. School-based health centers are where kids and families are at. They're there every single day, talking and interacting with children, seeing them in their natural environment outside of their family situation. So as we look to move healthcare reform forward, this is an area that we really should be looking to tap and work with the next population or the next generation of healthy individuals. Thanks.